Hello, I'm Laura Rawlings. Welcome to the Radio Academy podcast. Did you know that the Radio Academy has monthly meetups for members in London? It's a brand new series and it's called Last Mondays. If you haven't already checked it out, do take a look. All the details are on the website and it's free if you're a member. We have guest speakers every month and it's a chance to expand your network and also have a few drinks as well. In today's podcast, we're sharing some of the highlights from the last event in January, and we don't want anyone to miss out. It's a really brilliant conversation. It's between the new director of music at Bauer, Pete Black, and KISS content director, Rebecca Frank. And the two of them share some great advice on building relationships between labels and artists. And they also let you into how songs are selected as well. But at the time this was recorded, Pete had only been in the new job for a matter of months, having worked in the music industry for over 20 years. So we're going to pick up on the conversation where Pete talks about being a radio plugger and how he moved into radio.
I was writing letters in those days. I wrote letters to all the record companies and one of them replied. And it was London Records, which just happened to be a really, really great record label. And I went and I got the job and I was working with FFRR. Pete Tong was there as one of the A&R men. And a guy called John Niven was there who wrote a book called Kill My Friends, which was also a film. And that was my first year in the music industry. So if anyone's read that book, that's kind of what it was like. It was pretty full on, but a lot of fun. And then I was there and we were working with bands like E17 and All Saints and just some brilliant artists. And it was my job. I was a regional radio plugger. So every week I would put a ton of CDs in the boot of my car and I would drive up from London all the way up to Aberdeen and I would visit just about every single radio station in the country, finish in Southampton on Friday and get back, or finish in Brighton on Friday and spend a little bit of time on the beach.
That'd be nice.
In the summer and then get back. And that was it, you know. And I just became obsessed with radio and with playlists and with how you get on playlists. And, you know, that was my job. And then from London Records, I went to Warner Brothers and suddenly it was, oh, hang on, this is very different. This is sort of what felt like the big league. And we were working with REM and Madonna and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Linkin Park and all these huge, predominantly American bands. And it was a real gear change for me. I suddenly had a team of people. I had regional radio pluggers and I had national radio pluggers. And we had to really focus and deliver these campaigns. And when those artists come over, they give you like 2 hours for promo, and you have to make the absolute most of it that you can, which we'll get to later, but I think is really, really sort of useful in my job now, knowing that side. So I was at Warner Brothers for a long time, loved it, and then I moved to Columbia. In my career, I've always sort of guided my choices by, I've been lucky enough to guide my choices by working for record labels that I loved, and I loved the artists there. And Columbia really, really appealed to me because they were sort of smashing it with Kasabian and Mark Ronson and artists like that when I was there, but they had Bruce Springsteen and they had Bob Dylan. And,
sorry,
you know,
I've never heard of any of these people. Can you expand on them?
And the Foo Fighters and the Kings of Leon. And they had all these just artists. I thought, I've got to work with these people. And then my most recent job after that was I sort of took an expanded role at Sony, and I was looking after labels like Ministry of Sound and Relentless Records as well, and Black Butter, and they're just working with brilliant artists. I'd known Ben Cooper from my BBC days, and we'd always kept up conversations, and I had a good relationship. And he talked to me about a role at Bauer that was going to be advertised, and I just thought that would be amazing to finally be able to sort of jump over the fence and see what it's like to be in those playlists, those sort of mythical playlist meetings. What matters? I was really worried that I wasn't going to get it because I didn't have any radio experience. To be a director of music, normally you would need to know about radio clocks, you need to know about audience research, but I always sort of passionately believe that I can learn that, and I am learning that. I'm still not an expert, but it was really nice that Bauer sort of stepped outside that and thought, well, we want to do things slightly differently. And I think what appealed to them was my experience with artists and with management and with labels and just looking at things differently. So if I'm in a playlist now, rather than just go, oh, that's how we've always done it, I'll say, well, why do we do it like this? Why are we dividing things by 80s and 90s genres? Why aren't we dividing things by mood or by pace? And then people will explain to me and sort of talk about the logic of it. But I will just always ask questions, and probably those questions are so blindingly obvious for the people working there that they've never thought about them that way. So, yeah, I think it was probably a lack of experience rather than experience that got me the job.
Oh, God, now he tells us. Do you know what I mean? Well, what struck you the most then? Because you made this big leap. You're having a lot of fun with Bruce Springsteen, and now you're in an office with me and Ben across the road.
It was just too good an opportunity, I think, to I applied for and was lucky enough to get it, to work across all of those brands, all of those genres of music. You get to work with pretty much every artist there is. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
I mean, yeah, I concur. And has there been anything that's really surprised you since starting? Bearing in mind Pete's only been in the role for 4 months, so you've still got that fresh brain thing going on. What's been the biggest sort of surprise?
It's definitely the volume of music. You'll sit there in a playlist and you'll have so many songs submitted. Now, you know, the brilliant teams at Bauer, brilliant heads of music, and they filter. But they'll still come into playlist with 10 songs and I want to add them all, and you just can't. I think there was a stat that's sort of like 40,000 songs a week, isn't it? It's something ridiculous. So for me, that's the hardest part. It's always about the audience and what you think the audience would like most. And we do that on gut, and we also look at all the indicators, you know, how it's doing in the chart, how it's streaming, Shazam, YouTube, all of those things. But in the end, it's a gut feeling of what we think our audience would like most. And it's also based on the flow of songs that we've got on the station. So if you think, you know, we're a little bit light on rap and hip hop at the moment, then maybe that tune will get there in front of another one.
And like, not everything's, you know, right for radio. You know, there's a big difference, isn't there, between what's right, what's really hot and going off on streaming or on YouTube or on TikTok and what's right. I mean, if we had a radio station, which I know there is one in America, but I will never do it at Bauer, what's hot on TikTok isn't necessarily good for what's on radio, right, as well. It's a particular way of thinking.
Totally, but TikTok isn't a bad word.
No.
There are so many people that, exactly, but so many people are like, oh, you're playing a TikTok record, because we, and Kiss, we went on the Miguel record. Yeah. And that had a moment on TikTok, and it's a really old record. But
Capital went on Kate Bush, right? When that kind of had a moment.
Yeah. I don't think there should be rules around those things. Again, I think it's about what do we think our audience will like.
There's a whole music industry relationship side and a creative ambition side to the role that you're playing at the moment. Like, what's on the sort of top of your to-do list, which I'm sure is absolutely massive?
It's more of a sort of general thing. I want to get out there and talk to artists, managers, record labels, and talk to them about Bauer and talk to them about how we can join up our brands, which I don't think before my role we really could. So often artists sit on two, possibly three of our brands. And if you look at it, if you know, Hits is a massive network, Kits is a massive network, but if you combine both of them, it's nearly 11 million audience. And I just want to make sure that we're talking to artists and labels and saying, if you come to us and if you give us your promo hour, this is the scale that we can hit.
So you've talked about scale there. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the medium of radio, and I'm sure lots of you think about this all the time, and maybe you talk to other people about what the superpower of radio is, but what do you think, like, our superpower is in the whole industry? Like, everybody here that works in audio, what do you really think that radio superpower is?
It's going to work on a rainy Monday morning and knowing that those people in the studio know that. They know that you're in a shitty mood, and they're just trying to entertain you and cheer you up, which a playlist can't do. Or that gear change to a Friday afternoon, and it's like the tunes, you know. But I was talking to the head of music at Jazz this morning, and he was talking about playing a classic blues song every hour on Jazz FM. And he was saying the reason they do that is because jazz comes from the blues, and it's about educating the audience. So the DJ will talk about that, and then they've got like three contemporary blues artists on the place, and then you can play one of those. So it's about holding the hand of the audience and like curating and bringing them to new artists from classic artists. And I just think that a person can do that so much better than an algorithm.
Amen to that.
because of the kind of evolving nature of the media landscape and what sort of stuff people are spending time with on their phones or on the little box in the corner of their kitchen, how do you see our relationship in radio or at Bauer kind of evolving over time? Because it's evolved loads, right? Artists can make their own content and they can get paid a bunch of money for doing something for a tech company or whatever. So how do you see our relationship? It obviously is evolving, but how do you see it evolving over the like the next year or so with radio?
I just think it's about opportunities for artists. It used to be you just sit in a studio and you just do an audio radio interview, wouldn't you? And then someone brought cameras into the studio. and I think, you know, now it's that, I keep talking about scale, but it's that social media hit. It's that using multiple brands. It's about creating brilliant content that can work on repeatable formats. It's about saying to an artist, you can do a playlist while you're in here. You can do a podcast while you're in here. And it's about creating that scale and just being really innovative and being best in class in our visual content and audio content.
There's a lot of people here, like I say, of different experiences, and it'd be really nice to kind of hear for some advice for people at smaller stations, because we've used a lot of music industry jargon tonight, pluggers and whatever. Like, how do you, if you're at a small community station or a hospital radio station, how can you possibly get and have the same kind of access to music or artists as a big network like KISS or whatever? Like, how do you even kind of begin to get there?
My advice on that would be to do some research. Look up the label that the artist is on, contact the label, find out who's in the promotions team, and ask to get added to a mailing list. In the old days, when you were sending out CDs and you only had 350 CDs, there was a cap on that. But you're just adding a name to an email list now. So there should be no reason why people won't send music to everybody. If, you know, if they can help them broadcast it, even if that audience is relatively small, it still matters. It's still important. Of course it is. So that would be my advice on that. Access to artists is harder. I think you have to build your brand. I think you have to be realistic and start with smaller local artists and then build up from there.
I maybe like to encourage other people, if I can like add to that. Even at a brand like KISS, it's never a slam dunk with like access, and people think that having access to artists means success. Like, we all know that some of the best content and connecting things that you hear on a radio station are not always artist orientated. Yeah. I think there can be like a really big obsession with that personally in the radio and content industry. Sometimes your talent, who maybe are known or maybe aren't known, if they've just got a great connection and a great way of you know, getting through to an audience member or making them laugh or making them feel something, that can be really, or just how passionate they are about a tune, that can be super relatable. You know, at KISS, we don't, it's not like we sit there and we just tell the record industry what we want from Rihanna. It's really not like that. And it makes you be more creative and it makes you kind of be a bit more thirsty and hungry for the artist. So, you know, I work with a lot of people in community radio and smaller radio stations, both through management or mentorship or just where I've come from or just the road I live on, because West Side Radio is on there. So I go in there like at least a couple of times a week and see the crew there, because we've stolen quite a lot of talent from there. So I feel like I owe them. No, but they're just great people, and it's a buzzy place to be. And they don't have a ton of artists coming through there, but they've got really potent talent. Yeah. They've made their talent, even though that presenter might have 100 listeners, but those 100 people love it. That is real currency, right? In music, it's not just about scale, it's about that stickiness. So, yeah. In terms of like building relationships though with artists as well, like you've been on the other side of people like me, trying to schmooze people like you or get in there with what are sort of some of the techniques that really, really work? Is it kind of the stunts? Is it the relentless emails? What is it? What really works?
Yeah, I'm not sure that any of it really works. I think that it all comes down to the song and the artist, doesn't it? Actually, I think a really good flow of communication with someone you trust is really important. So that matters. And I think that if we're really backing an artist, I think that to know that that artist will be there for us as well, and that it's a sort of a two-way street, is really important as well. And the other thing that really helps, if you can sit down with a management team or with an artist or with a record label, and they can sort of play you more than one song, so that you're like, oh, okay, we could do this on your launch single, and then we can do this on your second single, which might be a session, and then on your third single we can have you in for a live event. And then you can talk to them about a sort of a 10-month arc, which is really, I was on the other side, which if you're at a label is really, really important to you.
Any other questions?
At the Last Monday events, we also take questions from the audience. And to give you a flavour of a couple of them, here are Pete and Rebecca answering a question about how they deal with gender split in terms of artists that are on the playlist.
You know, we were talking before about, is there enough rap? Is there enough hip hop? We will always look at our stations and go, are there enough female voices? Are there enough male voices? And we look at the overall flow of the sound on the station. And we look at that very, very closely. It's difficult sometimes because you'll have big releases coming in and we're not in charge of what goes at what time. But I think if you look at the moment and you look at the charts, right at the top of the charts, it's female vocal pop is absolutely smashing it. So we're all over that on Hits and Kiss and those stations as well. But yeah, it's something that we definitely look at in the mix of everything that we do.
I think something else that we can be in control of, other than we are obviously in control of what we playlist, but I think what Pete's getting at there is, yeah, that flow of what's service to us is event lineups. So I think that's something, to your point, that Pete's really heavily involved with, and is going to be really heavily involved with strategizing across the piece, and representation in all forms is like a huge priority for us at Bauer. So I think we're absolutely never going to shirk responsibility on playlisting, because it's about representation in all forms. We're trying to get a broad audience. I think event lineups is another really important bit that we can really make an affirmative difference to.
And there was a great, albeit slightly cheeky, question about what you do if a top artist releases a track, but it's really bad. It's shit. Do you still play it?
Define shit, though.
That's a good question.
Define shit first.
Yeah. I don't think we could play a record that truly harmed our radio station. I just don't think we could do it. You can't play something, I don't know, like 50 times a week that every time someone listens to it, they turn off. So I think even for Rihanna in that case, or even for one of the top artists in the world, I think that you would say no. Well, actually, what I would do is I would say, we will do this on the day, because there will be so much heat on the day that this record is released. We will do all of this, but we couldn't guarantee, you know, players. But it's not going to be a bad record. And by the way, I know that there was a Rihanna tune last year, and I know she's doing Super Bowl. I have no idea if there's going to be a Rihanna album this year. I really hope there is, but I don't have any idea.
And that's the difference in it. And I know you know what you're getting at. So. Good one. but I think that is the difference between playlisting something and then showing journalistic kind of reaction to a story in music. There's music and then there's the music industry. So sometimes, like Pete's getting at, like, if there's a big story in music that we need to follow to be there for the fans and be part of the conversation, that's one thing. To put something on rotation in amongst X, Y, and Z for 6 months is a totally different thing. And we're very honest with the labels about that.
Yeah, and I think that's something that sort of we've spoken about is, and one of the things was one of those why questions I asked when I came in. It's like, why do we always play records for 6 weeks? Oh, because that's how long it takes to get testing back. Well, I was like, but if the record is clearly a moment, you know, and it's hot for a certain amount of time, then people move on. Just play it for a week, play it for 2 weeks. There are no rules. So again, on that, you would just look at the enormous heat around that release and then see how long that you thought the audience were interested in that for.
One of my favourite questions from the audience comes up next. To the main man in charge of tunes, what's the first track Ken Bruce will play on Greatest Hits Radio? And if you want to hear Pete's answer, you need to go to the full hour-long session on the Radio Academy website. Log in if you're a member, it's all there. And if you're not a member yet, it costs £3 a month and gives you access to all sorts of really helpful things, events, networking opportunities, access to the huge online archive of interviews with some great name guests, there's career resources and a whole lot more, plus Pete's answer to the Ken Bruce question. So search for Radio Academy and membership. On next week's podcast, we'll be focusing on fundraising and some of the incredible radio campaigns that have raised significant sums and helped people across the UK. Until next time.